This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Welcome to the Kings of Sport, the program that's changing the game one show at a time, with your hosts, Nate Milton.
Yes! That boy's good!
And Marcus Vandenberg.
Let's say!
So sit back and relax, because you're now down with the Kings.
Welcome to the Kings of Sport, the program that's changing the game one show at a time, a.k.a. the world's most dangerous sports show, a.k.a. iTunes' longest-running weekly episodic program hosted by two or more African-Americans that are not affiliated with a major network. I'm the guy by the name Milton, joined as always by my partner in crime, Marcus Vandenberg. Marcus, you ready to do this thing this week?
Yeah, man, what's up? How you doing?
I'm doing all right, man. We're about to take over the podcast game once again, like Michael Jordan taking over social media, which was the greatest thing ever yesterday.
That's not an example, because Jordan got clowned for that, so.
Hey, man, he had an office with a full bottle of cognac and the Charlotte Hornets mascot. That's living. That's life.
Yeah, well.
And he's got a good team, which is something that we couldn't always say about Charlotte.
That's true. That's very true.
And they got a squad this year that might make some noise in the postseason. We're going to make some noise this week. We got a lot of great stuff on the program today. A little bit of housekeeping off the top. I know last week we promoted our interview this week with Sierra Reed and Steve Glenwick. Steve from TagMeAdate.com. Steve could not make it this week, but we're still going to talk with Sierra about just a lot of random things. So that's coming up on the program.
And talk.
What are you trying to say? Women can't shut up? Is that what you're alluding to, Marcus?
Nah, I'm just saying,
misogyny.
Grab a seat, get a cigarette, get comfortable, do what you need to do.
Go to Iran if you're Conan.
Yeah.
Well, we've also got Second Down coming up, as well as Segment 4, but before we get into any of that, Marcus, here in the A Block, a lot of our listeners are aware last week that you took a road trip and you went to hell, so to speak. But I'm interested in hearing how the trip went, how were things down in Texas? I saw some Facebook posts and some barbecue down there, man. So real quick, how was your time out there in the Longhorn State?
It was fun. I spent some time in Austin, spent some time in Waco. Spent some time in Killeen, Texas, outside of Fort Hood, and spent literally like 5 hours in Dallas for the show. So it was a good time. I took my little cousin to his first WWE event, which was Hell in a Cell. He's a big John Cena fan, so he was very excited about John Cena and Randy Orton. I thought after the stipulation was added on Raw that that would be the main event, but much to my surprise, it was stuck in the middle of the card. And, you know, I wasn't watching wrestling at his age, which is around 7. So, you know, I was curious to see what he would think of the whole thing. And he seemed to be playing a little, not shy, but he just seemed like he wasn't invested in the pay-per-view until the Cena match. And actually until Cena won the match, and then his attitude changed. So it was a good time overall. Austin is a cool city. I could see myself living there if it wasn't so damn hot. Just for the food alone. And it's very scenic. You know, when you think Texas, you think dry dirt, and there's a lot of green, a lot of scenery, a lot of expensive houses in Austin. So, yeah, it was a good time. As for the actual pay-per-view itself, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, Austin is kind of like a, almost like an outlier within the state of Texas, both in terms of its topography and also in terms of just kind of the attitudes of the people there.
Yeah, I mean, their slogan is "Keep Austin Weird," and if you compare it to like Houston and Dallas and San Antonio, it would be the the weird city out of those three. So it definitely stands out.
Yeah, so your overall thoughts on WWE Hell in a Cell with the hologram and all them shenanigans at the end. Thumbs up, thumbs down, thumbs in the middle.
Overall card, I would give it thumbs in the middle. There is really nothing. I mean, I'm not a big Shield guy in general. So, you know, the whole allure of Rollins and Ambrose doesn't do anything for me. So when those guys went on last, it was whatever. And then the way the match started with the whole spot off the cage and the stretcher, and 10 minutes later the match officially started, I wasn't really invested too much in it. And then the ending with Bray Wyatt coming out, I was just like, all right, let's go home.
That was like the ultimate WWE troll on you. They're like, this dude hates anything to do with Bray Wyatt, so let's give him more Bray Wyatt than he can stand here at the end.
Yeah, that too. I'm not a big Bray Wyatt guy. As you might have learned by now. So, yeah, at that point, I was just like, crap, we had a 2-hour drive ahead of us now. So,
do you think they should have finished with Cena and Orton? Because I think that knowing how the match ended, it might have been better if they flip-flopped those two cage matches.
No, I would say since they had the weird ending, it made sense to end with Bray. But if it was going to be a straight ending with Rollins and Ambrose, then I would have said, yeah, put Cena on last. But since they had some shenanigans, it would have been weird to have Bray in the middle of the show and then for them to keep going like that. So it made sense.
Okay, so that was kind of a sell. What was the best barbecue spot you stopped at?
We went to this spot in Austin. I'm drawing a blank on the name of it, but you know, Franklin Barbecue is the bit spot that people might know, but they're notorious for their long lines. So we did not go to Franklin Barbecue, and then Monday we were in town, but a lot of the barbecue places are closed on Monday, much like barbershops in most of black neighborhoods. But on Tuesday at the airport, we had Saltlick Barbecue, which is a chain in the Texas area. And that was very good. I mean, when you consider airport food, in Austin, you're probably going to be hard to beat a place serving barbecue like that. So that was good. What else? Other observations. Gas is really cheap in Texas, I noticed. Compared to LA, where I'm paying $3.50 a gallon, and I get to Texas and it's like $2.70 a gallon, and that's a bit change.
So you just filled up a bunch of cans and shipped them to yourself?
Yeah, that's what I should have done. Yeah. and then I sent you the photo over the weekend of I was at a restaurant. Oh, I'm trying to blank on that name too. In Killeen, and I looked on the menu, and it was a sandwich place.
Yes.
And one of these sandwiches listed on this menu was named the Big Nasty.
Yeah.
Let me see if I can find the photo.
So did you order the Big Nasty?
I did not order the Big Nasty, no.
You should have. You should have.
A half pound of Black Angus roast beef served open face. Open face, haha, get it? On a toasted baguette with gravy and cheddar jet cheese.
The baguette is what's kind of tripping me out. Like, I don't associate sexes with baguettes, but everything else sounds pretty interesting.
Open face. Not open heel, but open face.
The Big Nasty. They did manage to say Black Angus.
Yeah.
Super black.
And it wasn't $9.99, but it was $8.99. So, close.
Yeah, so what's the name of that spot?
Oh, this was not Cheddar's. What place was this? This was a place that we don't have in Los Angeles. Hold on. Continue on.
So barbecue was better than the pay-per-view, is what I'm hearing. Gas was cheap, and Austin's still weird. Those are big takeaways.
Oh, we went to Waco and checked out Baylor University just to explore. Nice campus. Went by the RG3
statue
and the brand new football stadium they built, which just opened this year, which is very nice. They were not in town. No games were going on this year, so or this weekend. So that was a letdown, but very nice campus. Baptist school in the middle of nowhere. So
Yeah, Waco's interesting. I got relatives all up and down through Texas, and Waco's an interesting spot.
There was it was pretty dead. Pretty dead.
Yeah, definitely not Austin.
No, definitely not Austin. Not at all. And definitely not Dallas, which is like a real city. So
all in all, good trip to Texas. You made it back in time to go to work.
Yeah, I got back Tuesday around 1 and had to go to work at 5 for World Series and NBA. So it was a long day. So yeah, next trip involves Toronto. So Canada, watch out. I'm coming back.
You're going from barbecue to poutine.
Nah, I'm not skipping to poutine and going straight to Tim Hortons.
Nah, man, they got poutine at Tim Hortons, man. They got poutine everywhere.
Nah, I can't eat poutine, number one. Number two, even I could eat dairy, I wouldn't eat poutine.
I let it slide because it's a biological thing with you, but anybody that can process dairy and lactose, poutine is a wonderful thing.
If you say so.
Especially if you're on a trip to Iran. Like, it's everything you need because it's carbs, it's cheese, and it's gravy. So it's kind of, come on, man. At 2 o'clock in the morning?
That doesn't sound good for you.
There are a lot of things that weren't good for me in Canada. Boom.
Oh.
That one is hot fire.
Hey, ex-girlfriend. How you doing?
She listens occasionally.
Wow.
Yeah, we're on good terms now. We're not like Kobe and Dwight. We're actually civil. But speaking of Canada, it's time once again for Marcus's Hockey Minute, a.k.a. Ask a Hockey Negro. What you got for us this week, Mark?
So first off, thoughts and prayers to Gordie Howe, who suffered a serious stroke on Tuesday, who's now recovering from that, one of the, you know, greatest hockey players of all time. But, you know, since this is our show, this is my segment, I can be a homer and discuss my Los Angeles Kings for a minute. And by the way, we never got a payoff for that bet we made with...
with Bill?
Yeah.
Bill, who actually won a fantasy football game this week.
About time.
Because he had Tom Brady.
Oh, okay.
So, but yeah, Bill, and I've listened to Mr. Throwback Thursday. I don't know if it was the last show or the show before, but they heard us talking hockey with TJ, and Bill was like, you know, why didn't they call me? So,
No calls until you put on the Kings gear. That's the rule.
That's the stipulation.
Yeah.
Pay what you owe, Bill. Pay what you owe.
Come on. But back to the Kings. So they've been off to a great start. You know, they're defending Stanley Cup champions. And the key part of that, besides Jonathan Quick, who's one of the best goalies in the league, has been a trio of three Kings that have been nicknamed that 70s line because all three players have their numbers, their jersey numbers, are in the 70s. Led by Jeff Carter, Tyler Toffoli, and Tanner Pearson. So they've sort of caught on, and the Kings just had a homestand, a six-team homestand, where they went undefeated, and they've scored most of the goals, actually, for the Kings this season. So I think they've scored 17 of the Kings' 23 goals, which is a little disturbing because you figure you can't rely on one line. And just to break down, I'm just, nobody of people who probably don't know what hockey or don't watch hockey. So you have four lines. Your fourth line is usually your guys who are your enforcers / shit players. But so you have your three primary lines and your fourth line. So, you know, their teams rotate lines, you know, probably every minute or two in hockey. And this line alone has accounted for more than half the Kings' goals this season. So just something to look out for out west. And overall, hockey season, it's been okay. There's been nothing that's really stood out to me in the first 10, 11 games or so. But it's a long season. And I think once baseball ends and it's just, you know, NBA and NHL, then I think hopefully it'll get more focused. But I know hockey's not on your radar, so I know I should ask you for what or anything has bubbled up on your end in terms of hockey stories this season. Have you heard anything that's caught your attention?
Yeah, I'm not paying any attention to hockey, not right now. But this is the best time of the year, in my opinion, for sports, because you got the NFL, you got college football, you got NBA, you got hockey, you got baseball in the postseason. So this is a good time for sports. I'm not into hockey, but I will say, in regards to lines, like, I was a big hockey video game fan.
Ooh, yes.
Back in the day. And so I would always make my lines up in a very specific fashion. Like, my first line would be my best players, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But my second line would always be, like, the rookies that I was trying to groom to be that next level. So it'd be, like, all young dudes on my second line. Now, my third line was my black line.
Oh.
I would just trade for the blackest players in the league, and I would it'd just be like Ansem Carter and
Joel Ward.
Yeah, and the one dude that I wasn't sure if he was black or not, but he had the predator hair. Remember him back in the day? He was like the enforcer. I think he might have been Native American. No, it was I think he was an Indian dude.
Indian dude. Enforcer.
This is like back in the mid 90s, late 90s. But he had like dreadlocks. But he was on my team, and the thing about my black line, or the blackups as I called them, were they couldn't shoot for worth a damn, but they were the fastest line. So we always had it was always a situation where we had the puck on their end because we were just so fast, but we couldn't score once we got it down there.
Let's see, not Peter Worrell, no.
No.
Donald Brashear, no. Fred Braithwaite, no. By the way, the Wikipedia has a current list of black hockey players in the league, and it's growing. It's a decent number.
All right.
Though a lot of them are like biracial. Not that it, you know, not that you don't count, but
hey, we'll take what we can get, Marcus. We'll take a hat. Chris Simon.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
He was not black.
No, he was. I think they're saying he was like Native American and Canadian, but yeah, he had them dreads. So I was like, you know what, you can be on the black line. that should tell you he's 42 now. So that should tell you how long it's been since I played an NHL video game.
Yeah, I wanted to buy NHL 15, but I heard so many negative reviews that I haven't bought it yet. So
I think EA Sports doesn't even care anymore.
They really, besides Madden, they really stopped giving a fuck about. I mean, I don't know why they started NBA Live again.
Yeah, they brought that back. Like, yeah. Probably because they had this whole team of people that was waiting to do college games, but they can't anymore.
Oh, yeah.
So they're like, well, bring NBA Live back.
I do miss college football.
Yeah.
They did that well.
2K, like 2K used to be really good at the college basketball games,
mm-hmm.
but I think it was just something where it wasn't profitable, which I don't know how it wasn't profitable, but
it wasn't profitable for the players either.
Yeah. Ed O'Bannon was like, pay what you owe.
Yeah.
Just like Bill, pay what you owe, Bill. So that's Marcus's Hockey Minutes, a.k.a. Ask a Hockey Negro. I think coming up next, we need to talk some NFL second down. It was a crazy week with a lot of big scores, and we'll talk about it coming up next.
Sounds good to me.
I just gonna see how long you gonna let that breathe for.
That's a 9-month pregnant pause right there.
Yeah. So more Kings of Sport right after this.
What in the wide world of sports is going on here? Bet you got it all planned right. Bet you never worry, never even feel afraid. Bet you got it all planned right.
It's time to talk about the sport of kings with the Kings of Sport. It's your Pigskin Preview, your Gridiron Gabfest, and your weekly football focus. It's time for Second Down on the Kings of Sport.
It's the sport of kings, better than diamond rings. That's why we're here to sing football. Sunday in the snow, referee's whistle blows. Weekend warriors toe-to-toe.
Welcome back to the Kings of Sport, and if you're hearing that music, it can mean one thing and one thing only. It is time for Second Down. It's our weekly football focus, where we take a look at the NFL, we take a look at some collegiate football. Sometimes, we go off the field and see what's going on. And, of course, we always have our NFL Picks Challenge between Marcus and myself. And I think we'll start there, Marcus. Last week was an interesting week, as I mentioned, in the A block. A lot of big scores put up on the board. And I'm wondering how that affected our picks. So without any further ado, why don't you let the people know how we did last week and what the season standings are looking like.
Last week, week 8, I went 4-1. You went 3-2. So I'm now 23-17 on the year, and you are 22-18.
Uh-oh, it's getting a little tense.
Listen, you're lucky to be this close. Remember, I went 0-5 week 1. If you take that out, the picture.
Yeah, luck has nothing to do with it, Marcus. When you are a prognosticator of my caliber, you know, I don't think I've ever had a losing week. I think I've always
had one last week, or the week before, week 7, week 6. You went 2-3, 2-3. Week 2, you went 2-3. So, that. Calm down there.
All those weeks, we're going to let the past be the past. Like Mark McGuire said, I'm not here to talk about the past, Marcus.
Okay.
but before we get into our picks this week, I did want to just check in and see. Because to me, the most fun game all week, even though my team lost, was that 9 o'clock game, Marcus. Did you have a chance to watch that? That would have been like 6 o'clock your time, I guess.
No, I was in Texas. I was up.
Okay.
That was 8:30 my time.
Like, that's how, like, I was talking to a buddy, and he was like, man, this is really cool. And it is. Like, I thought it was, for the people on the East Coast, it's like, that's how you should watch football. But, I mean, you're out there in L.A., so, I mean, for the most part.
That's the norm, yeah.
Yeah, that's how you guys roll. But what'd you think of that game in England? I thought it was a good atmosphere. The Falcons are terrible, so now...
What was that? What?
I just said the Falcons. Not the Falcons per se, but certain people within the team, like Mike Smith and possibly Matt Ryan, are terrible right now. And much like the Colts had that campaign a couple years ago, suck for luck, I would like to announce for the first time here on the Kings of Sport podcast in Second Down that I'm sponsoring the Atlanta Falcons Go Winless for Winston campaign.
You thought the Falcons sucked now. If you replace Matt Ryan with Jameis Winston, they're not going to be much better next year.
No, but Jameis has a ceiling. Like, Matt Ryan, we know what Matt Ryan is. Like, he's not going to make any big leaps from now over the next 4 or 5 years. I don't see him suddenly becoming Drew Brees or Peyton Manning. Like, we know what this guy is. He's a solid quarterback, but he's not going to get you to that next level. He makes too many mistakes. So I'd rather try my lot with a young guy that has an opportunity to progress, like a Jameis Winston.
Yeah, all right.
We're going winless for Winston, everybody. And if Seattle keep acting up, maybe we can score Marshawn Lynch on the down low.
Because that's what you wanted, an aging running back. You already have one of those in Steven Jackson. How's that working out?
I think he scored a touchdown this past week.
Yeah. You don't want Marshawn Lynch.
So, yeah, that was the early game. Then the other most interesting game to me, Marcus, was the Monday night game with Colt McCoy.
Pew, pew.
His parents in the crowd. Never have I seen so many shots of a parent for a grown man playing a game as I did on Monday night.
That was a great story.
And they milked the hell out of it. but I think this, you know, it's one and done for Colt because there's reports already that RG3 is going to start against the Vikings this week. But, you know, I think we've seen that. I'm not going to say McCoy is a solution, but he's a much better stopgap, in my opinion, than Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, he's he doesn't make mistakes like Kirk Cousins does. He can control the offense, and you know, I wondered how the Cowboys would get to 8-8, and I think we might have our answer if Romo.
The answer is Brandon Weeden.
Can't stay healthy the rest of the season, then that's how they get to 8-8.
Who is Brandon Weeden? Let me take ways the Cowboys fail for 600.
Hey, he had a touchdown. He wasn't bad when he was in there.
He's 40 years old, man. He should throw a touchdown. Oh, Brandon Weeden. But yeah, so the other thing about that game that was probably the most interesting thing and certainly the most viral thing was the final 2 minutes of the broadcast where you had people actually wanting to speak to Colt McCoy. And we were introduced, the word was introduced to Redskins PR guy.
No means no, Nate.
Oh, that was like it was so obscure, so random, but it was like everybody saw it. And then they were like, did I see what I thought I saw? And then 5 minutes later, Twitter was crazy, going crazy. Like, no means no. Like, when in the history of man fights has that been uttered as a defense?
I mean, poor Colt. He got dragged in the middle. He was pulling on this guy. Like, Colt's a grown man. If you tell him to walk away, he can walk away from the interview. You need to drag him out of there.
Like, this dude is giving the 49ers PR guy a run for his money.
Yeah.
Like, no means no. And then I guess apparently they had to get Colt McCoy. His story. What's the guy's name? Tony Wiley? Or Willie?
Yeah.
His story was he had to get Colt to the locker room so he could hear the speech. But I'm sure, you know, you're the game-winning quarterback. I'm sure the coach is going to wait 5 minutes so you can do an interview and come in and give the speech.
Yeah, it was a weird, I mean, it's one of those unfortunate things for the PR guy to be caught on camera like that. But
what made it even worse, even more suspect or more interesting or weird is that it was ESPN Deportes that was trying to get the interview.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, if you're going to shout something at a Spanish interviewer, no means no is pretty universal.
That translates. Any language, no.
No means no! Like, that dude was mad. Here's one thing before we get to our picks. I don't get what is going on with Tom Brady, where I think, you know, the media likes to make excuses for Peyton Manning. But they love to make excuses for Tom Brady. When they lose, he doesn't have enough weapons. When they win, look what he did with this lack of weapons. He's such a leader.
Yeah.
It's immediate. Like, the only difference between the first four games and the second four games is Gronk is healthy. Like, that makes a difference that I don't think people are attributing that to Brady. When it's like, nah, man, when you have a weapon like that that's not right, yeah, your offense is going to suck, but when he's right, that offense can look pretty good.
Yeah, that, and they've not, I mean, they've played some pretty mediocre teams. The Bears aren't good. The Jets aren't good. The Bills are, I think this was pre-Kyle Orton. Let me check here. Or was this post DJ Manuel days? No, this was Kyle Orton. Yeah. And then the Bengals defense has not been the Bengals defense as we've come to expect. So they did a good test this week against Denver at home, where they're already talking about possibly having snow on November 2nd in New England. So that should be fun to watch from sunny Los Angeles. And then after that, they have a bye week, and they go to Indianapolis the following week. So this will be a good test to get two tough teams just to see how good the Patriots and Tom Brady actually are this season.
Yeah, so I mean, I think they're a solid team. They definitely have enough to win that division. But you know, everybody's the Patriots are back. It's like, no, you know, if you looked at the schedule, if you looked at how healthy Gronkowski was, this is kind of what they should have been. Like the 51 points that jumps out at you, but they should have beat the Bears. You know, maybe not by that big of a margin, but
That was a little fluky. But they had scored three touchdowns in under a minute to close the half. So that part of that was on the Bears turning the ball over, and part of that, and Brady did throw five touchdowns. So not to take anything away from Tom Brady, what he did, but the Bears just were pretty awful on Sunday.
Yeah. So let's get into our picks. As we do each and every week, we pick four Sunday games as well as the Monday night game. And since you mentioned it, let's go ahead and start with perhaps the game of the week, Broncos at Patriots. And like you mentioned, there's snow in the forecast. And I think Bill Belichick hired a weather machine or something. Like, it's not out of the realm of possibilities that he would do something like that to help a Peyton Manning. So what's the line on Broncos-Patriots?
Denver -3.5.
Hmm.
And remember, Peyton, under 40 degrees, not very good at quarterback.
Yep.
Last time he played, cold weather was Super Bowl, I'm guessing. I'm not sure if it was under 40, but it was cool, and he did not perform well at all. So just throwing it out there.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. They have had a long week, though, haven't they? Denver.
Who? Denver?
Because they hadn't played since the
Thursday.
Chargers game.
Yeah, right? So they've had 10 days off.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the 10 days off. Even though it's cold weather, I'm going to go with the Broncos.
Oh, give me the Pats.
All right, game number two. Let's go with another big-time rivalry. The Ravens and the Steelers, your Sunday night game. What's the line on that?
Baltimore -1. Steelers at home.
Yeah. I'll go Big Ben. I'll go with the Steelers.
I go Steelers.
All right, game number three. The Redskins head to Minnesota to take on the Vikings, and this could be the return of RG3. What's the line on that?
At the time, it's Vikings -1.5.
Even if RG3 doesn't play, I'm gonna go with the Redskins. I believe in either Colt or RG3 in that one over Minnesota.
Wow. Yeah, coming off Monday night, Redskins looked all right. Give me the Redskins.
All right, our final Sunday game. Let's go with the Marcus Vandenberg special. Let's go Jets Chiefs.
Oh God.
With Mike Vick going to face his former coach Andy Reid, because that's the big storyline, or the only storyline in this game. What's the line?
Kansas City -342. Or Chiefs -10, one of the two.
Look, man, like the Jets are going nowhere fast, but you give me that many points, I'm going to stick with Vic.
Chiefs.
Really?
Yes.
Really? You think it's going to be that decimating? Where's your faith in your...
Listen, it's really not so much... I mean, the offense is bad, but the secondary is so depleted that they just can't stop the pass at the moment. And I think even Alex Smith will have a big game just because the secondary is so weak. So
you got Vic and Harvin. They had a week to get together, and they're going to bring back that 7-5-7 connection. It's not selling you on it?
No, it's not. It's better than Geno, but no, you're not selling me.
Oh, that was the funniest thing before we picked the Sunday night game.
The three picks?
Before we picked the Monday night game, the reporters, the commentators on ESPN, they're like, Geno throws three picks. This is terrible. Then Vic comes in the game when they're doing the highlights package. They're like, Vic comes in, and you can actually see improvement. And it's like, he moved the ball 20 yards. Like, that's the bar we're setting for the Jets this year.
It's a low bar.
Can you get more than one first down? Oh, so yeah, I'm going to go with the Jets in that. You got the Chiefs. And finally, the Monday night game, Colts and Giants. What's the line?
Colts minus 3.5.
I'll let you go first on this. Who you got?
Mid Colts.
You got the Colts. Giants are coming off a bye, though.
Yes, they didn't play last week.
And this is one. This is one of those games. I really don't believe in the Giants, but you know what? Give me the Colts.
All right.
I was going to go Eli, but then I was like, you know what? I've been burned too many times, Eli. I think most of those 2 and 3 weeks were picking the Giants. So those are our picks. Follow along each and every week at facebook.com/thekingsofsport. Marcus has a one-game lead in the picks challenge, but I think the tide is about to turn.
Sure. Keep thinking that. Just like the Falcons, huh?
Yeah. I'm telling you, I'm going on Twitter. Hashtag Willis for Winston. I'm about to get this thing started. I'm going to go reach out to white Twitter, reach out to black Twitter, all the Twitter factions, and we can get this thing started. Willis for Winston. Rise up.
Listen, I'm just saying, if Matt Ryan was black, I think you'd be seeing a different tune about Matt Ryan. You'd be a lot more defensive about Matt Ryan. Oh, the offensive line, it's been real bad. You know, what's he supposed to do? He's just trying his best. He's just, you know.
Why don't they let him run? Why are they trying to keep him in the pocket?
Mm-hmm. Just saying.
Saying if he was Marcus Ryan.
It'd be a lot different.
I see what you did there, Marcus.
I'm just saying.
Making it all racial up in this piece.
Yeah, sometimes it has to be.
Well, I guess that's good because coming up next, we have maybe the most racial segment in the history of this show. And that's including the time we talked about Ferguson. So if you want to hear about black colleges, Martin Lawrence, Nick Cannon, just a lot of other random black Twitter stuff.
Or if you didn't know, there are things called black colleges, then...
Yeah.
That's a whole different conversation.
If you thought A Different World was a work of fiction, well, I guess it is a work of fiction.
It is.
Yeah. I don't even know where I was going with that. You still got... You got me messed up with this whole black Matt Ryan thing.
Mm-hmm.
What if he showed up next week like Thomas C. Howell and Soul Man with the black face?
Oh, that dope. We don't want that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's also disgusting. In that
yeah,
segment.
We're also going to talk about blackface next segment, so don't do that, Matt Ryan. Stick and stay. More Kings of Sports. Right after the break.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly from Ring of Honor Wrestling. Make sure you check out The Kevin Kelly Show each and every week, placetobenation.com. We'll be talking about wrestling in the past and wrestling today, plus be talking about all kinds of sports and pop culture, whatever's on your mind, too. We'll answer your questions each and every week. The Kevin Kelly Show, right here, placetobenation.com.
What's that?
Sorry to keep you waiting. Now let's get back to the world's most dangerous sports show. It's the Kings of Sport, thekingsofsport.com.
We are back on the Kings of Sport. Marcus and Nate holding things down for yet another week. And as we mentioned in the A block, we were scheduled to have a great conversation with Steve Glenwick, founder of TagMeADate.com, in this segment. But due to some circumstances, Steve can't join us this week, but we will talk to him in the very near future. But we couldn't leave you guys without a guest this week. So she was going to come on anyway, and there's so many things that we need to talk to this person about. She's our female wrestling correspondent. She's our Black Twitter liaison. And we'll see what else she has to talk about this week. Welcome back to the program, ladies and gentlemen. Sierra Reed, what's going on, girl?
Nothing much. How are you guys been?
Good. How you doing?
Peachy. Just peachy.
Just peachy. Really? That's how we're going to start things. Just peachy.
Well, what's wrong with being peachy?
Hey, no comment. We're going to get into some areas in this discussion that probably aren't peachy, but I want to get the wrestling out of the way at the beginning. In the first segment, Marcus and I talked about his trip to Austin and his experience at Hell in a Cell. And real quick, know you're a big wrestling fan, got the Fangirl podcast out there. Want to get your opinions on Hell in a Cell as a show on this past Sunday.
You know, as usual, I see a lot of complaining during the show on social media, and I had missed maybe 5 minutes at the start of it, but to be honest, in a long time, this was the first pay-per-view I watched all the way through and had no complaints. Some things I was just we could have did better, but I just enjoyed the quality of the matches, really.
You was cool with the hologram at the end of the show, Sierra? Come on, girl. Come on, girl.
Okay. Let me tell you about this, because I have a Tumblr account, and there's people and they're wrestling fans that find the most outlandish ideas and put them together with the wrestling shows. And I was just like, okay, we got a hologram. How long is before somebody put Michael Jackson or Tupac in it? I go on the Tumblr. 10 minutes after pay-per-view goes off, somebody done put Tupac standing there in front of Dean Ambrose. I'm just like, see, we playing around. Why are y'all doing this? I didn't really like that ending per se, but since I know what's going to lead to, I'm kind of okay with it.
I think you'd be in the minority in terms of people who enjoyed the pay-per-view.
You know what? I think I am. And the chances are I'm always am on my own opinion. Everybody else, I remember I got an argument with somebody I know on Twitter because they're taking what happened at the end of the pay-per-view, that this feud was not settled once and for all, that they deemed not only that finish of the match, but the whole pay-per-view bad. And I said to them, okay, yeah, some things might not have went the way you think they should go. But for this company and their creative process to keep this thing going, because it seems like it's the only thing everybody's invested in and interested in, they got to figure out different ways to keep, more ways to keep this, I guess, intriguing. But to just say the whole pay-per-view was bad because of one finish is really ridiculous to me when we had some decent matches on there. Yeah, I think the AJ Lee and Paige match was just, I hope this is their last for a while.
It won't be.
Fourth straight pay-per-view they've wrestled at.
It won't be.
Come on, four times in a row?
I think it is going to be maybe their last for a while, because I don't know if you guys heard about the whole thing with Total Divas now, where if you're on the show now, you're not allowed to be Divas champion.
Marcus has some information about that.
Yeah, so I asked Stephanie McMahon about that, and she says it's not true.
She says.
But if you just look at the roster of Total Divas now, once you add in Alicia Fox and Paige, The only Divas not on Total Divas is AJ and Emma.
Emma and Layla. Tamina.
Tamina, I haven't seen Tamina in months, man. Yeah, Tamina. Yeah. Yeah, so that's about it. So it's hard to believe that rumor because just by the sheer numbers that eventually AJ's had to lose the title at some point, and you would think one of the ladies who's going to win it would be on that show.
Well, true, I agree with you there, because when I first read about it on, on the dirt sheets and stuff, and, sometimes dirt sheets have a way of sensationalizing, falsified reports and stuff, but then I sat there and thought, I was like, maybe this could possibly be true, because one, you have Nikki Bella and Cameron both say it, and mention it numerous times. I know, Nikki Bella's mentioned it twice, especially in her, I think it was their recent interview with Peter Rosenberg, they brought it up. And so for me, it's like, okay, there is some truth to this, because when I read this article where they were explaining this was, when they film reality shows, they do them months ahead. So say we have Nikki Bella as champion on TV right now, right? Mm-hmm. And then the new season Total Divas starts in January, where that's been filled like between June and September. It's not going to be accurate as to what's going on television currently. So they see it as, okay, that's not an accurate timeline, and it's just not going to, fans are not going to be able to go, okay, she's Divas champion on WWE television, then we turn on Total Divas and AJ Lee's walk around with the belt. It's going to confuse some people. So for me, I understand them doing it because, they're getting extra film time, air time on national television every week from the other girls who we hardly see anymore. And I think in this way, if you have to discount all those nine women out of the racing, because they're getting all this airtime and possible, public appearances and stuff, like the Bella Twins are always somewhere. Give the other girls that haven't been able to get that chance a chance. Let them be able to come into, the spotlight for once. Because before Total Divas, you had all these girls gunning for the Divas Championship, and everyone was confused as to who exactly is challenging this champion. Now we can kind of see who's going after.
Well, before she shot down my question, I was going to ask her as a follow-up, was, would you rather be the Divas Championship or the star of Total Divas? I'd rather be the star of Total Divas. Really? I mean,
what did she say?
No, I didn't ask her because she denied the rumor.
Oh.
So I didn't ask her about it, but she would have
I'd much rather be the star of Total Divas. The Divas champion in your fictional scenario, Marcus.
Yeah,
because, if you think about it, it's bad saying this because, maybe like a decade or so ago, it was more important to be the women's champion in that company. When you were the women's champion, you were their girl. Everybody was after you. And now, you get more publicity for being on a reality show, or, being a model like Maurice and them, like where you're still taking pictures on the side besides being on WWE television. And I think the company sees that. And I think, to be honest, I think the reason why they're fine with some of these girls getting on Total Divas is because they don't really see the potential of them being there in the next 5 years. Like, they see them getting whatever attention they can gain, go off to do their side projects like Maria Kanellis or the other former Divas, and leaving. I think they see that. And they figure, well, let them go ahead and play house on Total Divas.
Yeah, most of them can't wrestle anyway. Let's be real with it.
Well, to be honest,
the next good Rosa Mendez match I see will probably be the first. I'm just going to say that.
Rosa Mendez is, how would you say, she is type A wrestler. She's the wrestler that should not be wrestling. Let's put it that way, okay? And there's some guys on that roster that fit that same mold of, yeah, you might have a great look, but you suck.
Rabbit.
And I don't Rabbit. Know why they put you on TV.
The big yeah. guy.
All of a sudden, he appears. Yeah. But, you know, there's someone there that do work hard, and I commend them for doing it. Because traveling on the road almost all year like that, and then constantly working out, you know, watching your weight and how you look. And I mean, I remember I was reading this article about, like, one of those guys that recently got released. He was just, like, hollering about, like, how it's so annoying that he has to get his hair cut, like, every other day because it grows so fast so he can look good for NXT or television. And I was sitting there thinking, like, dude, do you know what all the girls have to go through? The girls, when they come backstage, the first thing they do, they grab their hands and check their nails. Why is your nails not done? Why is your hair not done? They tell them what color to do their hair. They have to be waxed. They have to do this. They have to have their makeup done. Everything has to be to a T. Every day. Like, for me, as the female, it's like, okay, that's cute and all, but, you know, today is not the day. Them, they're required. So that's a lot of freaking work and a lot of eyelash glue, if you think about it. Like, damn. I hope they go get those false eyelashes put on. That is a lot. I'm just saying. I'm just saying, because I was just like, I was watching, I think it was like last week episode, and I was just like, yeah, this is just too much. I just, yeah. Rosa Mendez does not need to be in the ring. She can be somebody's valet. Just keep her away. I don't know. But.
Yeah, now don't you feel bad for making fun of, who is it, Cameron's wrestling ability, Marcus?
No.
Oh, she is just the...
Girl, bye.
She is... You know what the bad thing with Cameron is? Like, she can be somewhat likable on Total Divas. Like, she's kind of funny. A little
no,
bit.
No, Vinny,
little bit.
Vinny's more likable than
Cameron. I was going to say, yeah, Vinny.
Vinny needs his own show.
He's the likable one in that group.
Yeah.
Vinny is the boyfriend of, like, all the girls I used to be friends with, and I'd be like, dear God, please dump him. Get him the hell away. I don't like him. That's him. Like, he's always, hi guys.
Hey, babe,
no,
babe,
we're not
babe.
Your friend.
Hey, babe.
But the thing with Cameron is, like, she can be, she has, like, this side to her, like, maybe she get rid of some of this arrogance. She wouldn't be such a bad person, but the thing that cracks me up with her is that she acts like she's all that. And then we've seen her, like, what was it, a month ago on television? She tried to pin Naomi the wrong way, and I was
on
just
the stomach,
like,
yeah.
I was just like, you asshole. Like, what is wrong with you? Like, I really don't understand how she lasted this long.
Especially after the arrest and tried to bribe the cop. It's a miracle she escaped that.
I'm telling you, it's because of Vinny. Vince likes Vinny. He's a good one. He's one of the good ones. Like having him around backstage.
Yeah, trying to fight Brutus Clay, yeah.
See who's still there, though.
Yeah, Brutus wasn't having
none. Not Brutus.
Day.
Yep. Advantage Vinny.
Before you know it, everybody's going to be on Total Divas except AJ Lee, so.
That'll never happen.
That would be great, though, to get the rare CM Punk cameo on Total Divas.
Oh, my God, no. As if I can't dislike him anymore. That show would actually make me really dislike him. Just the constant complaining and he dislikes this, dislikes that. And I would just be like, oh my God.
Don't call me Phil, but I'm your wife. Don't call me Phil.
Or this, who is Punk? Who is that? Who?
Like, I would watch Total Divas for like 5 minutes every week of CM Punk and AJ. at the breakfast table.
Just you. Not me. I can't take some of the married couples on there now, Natalia and Tyson Kidd. And
that's so fake.
Is it? Okay. I know there is females out here that act just like Natalia. Okay.
Oh, no. I mean, that part of it. I mean, the divorce angle.
Yeah, that is just so far-fetched. Like, okay, here's my problem. Tyson, if she's been needy like this past year on Total Divas, apparently she's been like this your whole entire relationship. So, all of a sudden, you just now notice, like, it's getting on your nerves. But you're going to marry her anyway. And now we're going to supposedly get a divorce. What? I it's just so far-fetched. The thing I find funny about it, even though it's not funny, is that it was the joke on the internet that Tyson Kidd loves his cats more than Natalia, and now they turn it to a gimmick on television where he has the cats on his tights. What?
They both seem a little weird.
Yeah, I was going to say that there. I'm pretty sure a lot of that is for the cameras, but yeah, both of them seem like there's a little bit of strangeness going on there, and it's not just because they're Canadian. Shout out to all of our listeners up in Canada.
Oh, no, I'll say it's because their hearts. It's something wrong with that family. Like, them and cats.
Teddy.
When are we going to get the Teddy cameo?
Never.
Oh, my God.
Listen, I'm surprised you did Jim Neidhart cameos, because that's still awkward to watch. He doesn't look right.
Yeah, that's pushing it.
Total Divas.
By the way, when I was going in Sunday in Dallas, we saw Natty, and they're still filming because there are like three or four cameras and filming crew guys following her inside the arena. So, whatever they're doing for Total Divas, they're still filming as of October, so.
Yeah, apparently the ratings are down, but, I'm sure we'll get another season.
Yeah, I had to see one more, and then maybe that's it. Especially if they keep adding people, I mean, I'm guessing it might be around for at least another season.
Well, I think it's because apparently E! Has been wanting Paige and Alicia Fox from the very first season to be on, and they both turned down because Paige wasn't on the roster at the time, and apparently they want all the women on there, and I'm thinking, okay, if you get all the women and eventually they're going to start reaching out to those in NXT, we're going to turn this show into the Housewives of WWE. Like,
not a bad idea.
Not a bad idea.
We're going to have
Real Housewives of Tampa.
And eventually, if you keep connecting the dots, if they bring in the NXT girls, that means we get Charlotte Flair, and that means we get Bram, and that means we get Ric Flair. And that's all I want from Total Divas, is Ric Flair showing up.
No, that's my fear. We actually witnessed Ric Flair being Ric Flair.
It's the drunken Ric Flair yelling at his daughter and his son-in-law.
And it's just going to be like, oh my God, where is David to come and, you know.
I went an hour with Sting. Don't tell me about hard times.
Like, I don't want to see that.
I do. What about you, Marcus? You down with that?
No.
Oh, I'm the weird one because I want to see Ric Flair be Ric Flair.
Now, the one I'm actually shocked they haven't put on Total Divas is Eden Styles. You know, because she's married to Cody Rhodes, and that whole Rhodes family is a little off. I'm surprised they haven't actually put her on there.
I just want to hear Dusty talking to Eden. Like the first time Dusty met Eden, what that conversation was like.
You know, normally I understand Cody liked the brown sugar and his coffee, but the dweeb don't endow with all that race mingling you feed.
Oh, yes, he is. Come on. Dusty was like the first black. Come on, he's the first black champion.
Yeah. I stole my gimmick from a black man. I guess this is payback for that, Jack.
You know, meanwhile, Thunderbolt Patterson is sitting there like,
yeah, I could talk all day about I can talk about anything but wrestling. Like, you notice this wrestling conversation has been all outside of the ring. That should tell you something right there. But another thing that I wanted to talk to Sierra about this week, she is our Black Twitter liaison. And it's been a
why
crazy.
I gotta be
there? Hey, well, let's just say Marcus and I are, like, we're a little too old for Black Twitter. We're still in the conversation, but we're like a little too old and we're a little too straight. I'm not saying, I'm just saying. Because Black Twitter does tend to lean, like, you either gotta be a rapper, young, female, or gay. Like, that's the Black Twitter key demographics.
Mm-hmm.
And Marcus and I are just outside of those. But that's why we turn to you, Sierra. Because you're right in there with Black Twitter.
And, well, see, here's the thing. I since I'm half and half, I try to stay away from it.
You get the best of both Twitter. You're on White Twitter and Black Twitter.
White Twitter's called Tuesday.
Yeah.
Oh, just, right.
And this has been a crazy week for Black Twitter and White Twitter. And once again, we talk about Ray Rice, y'all. Let's start it there. Sierra, I need you to reach down into the white side of you and speak to your Caucasian brothers and sisters about the dangers of blackface and insensitivity when it comes to these idiots dressing up as Ray Rice for Halloween.
White people, what are we trying to prove? What are we trying to gain? Where are we learning from putting blackface on and putting an Afro wig on? Mind you, Ray Rice doesn't even have Afro. And putting a black doll on the floor and you're holding on to her hair and cheesing in the picture. What are we doing? What are you trying to say here? Okay, that this is apparently funny to you, that he knocked out his fiance at the time and, you know, what? And then the thing that kills me is that when you go after them and ask them these questions, the first thing they want to say is, oh, it's for Halloween. Okay, some of us like to dress up like vampires and stuff, but you're not only making fun of a person, but you're making fun of two people. And you're making fun of a serious situation of, you know, what if when he hit her, she got a concussion and blacked out and died eventually. That's how serious we could have had. And you guys are dressing up like this and portraying this and putting it on Instagram. And
they still would have done it. Hey! I mean, if you look back to OJ, they were people dressing up like OJ during that. And he killed two people.
Allegedly.
Look, I ain't saying nothing. I don't want none of his people coming for me, okay? I ain't saying nothing. I stay away from him like Suge Knight. I stay away, okay? But I just don't get the ignorance, and then it gets worse. The Ebola costumes. I seen this ridiculous thing on Tumblr, the sexy Ebola nurse costume. What is being sexy about being a nurse at this time when we've got a serious disease in the country where no one really knows how exactly it's just going from here to there like this? We're not getting real questions and answers. Everybody's panicking, and people are actually, believe it or not, people actually are buying this. And
of course.
Yes, and it's just like, this is nothing to play with right now. This is serious. And, I mean, we just seen where some people are getting cures and some people are not getting cures. What if you were to get it, you know, you're putting on this costume for Halloween, the next day you contracted this bullshit, and then you can't get the goddamn cure? Oh, we just gonna say it was just for fun and games. Okay. What? What's wrong with people?
Have you seen these, Marcus?
I have, yeah.
I know it's a strange word, but I think my favorite out of all these in terms of just the level of stupidity is the one where the dad dressed the little boy up like Ray Rice. Like, that's taking it to a whole other level of just being an idiot.
It almost looks fake. Like, you think this is like some elaborate Photoshop job going on, but no, this is actually happening. And you know, close to Halloween this weekend, we'll see more costumes that are inappropriate. So it's the first one I saw was with the couple in the basement, like it was the husband and wife.
Oh, with the black eye.
Yeah. That was enough. That was enough. So.
And then the one with the mom and her kids.
Yeah.
It's a joke, people. It's a joke. Okay.
Like, I don't think that some people understand when you go into blackface that it's offensive, because they think of it, okay, this is the excuse I've seen, especially on Facebook. Mind you, I deleted this person from my friends list. This type of stuff was so racial, you know, and negative back in, like, years ago. You know, everybody's mixing and stuff. It shouldn't be an issue. It's offensive to people, especially to those people that were possibly alive when that stuff was going on. And they see that. That's offensive to people. You might not think it is, but I mean, what if we start walking around white hoods on? Oh, they're going to think something wrong. But you go and put, you know, black makeup on your face and dress yourself up like a black person, and I'm supposed to be okay with this. I'm supposed to let it slide because it's, Halloween. But some of these people have been doing this type of behavior before Halloween. You know, what was the whole situation at that university where those girls dressed up like that? And, like, what? What is wrong with people?
if here's the thing, white people, and I'll go ahead and say it. If Ted Danson can't get away with blackface, and Ted Danson is one of America's most beloved television actors, if he can't get away with it, neither can you, Billy Bob, at the fraternity. Don't do it. Just don't.
I mean, we have let Goldust get away with this, sort of, haven't we? He's sort of half blackface, half goldface.
Yeah, but if he did the Piper thing, we wouldn't let him get away with that. Piper took it to a whole other level.
Yeah, that's true. Forget about that.
Roddy wants you to forget about that.
See, Goldust, he has the gold in there, so it's kind of like, okay, we can't really get mad at you, you know. But if he took it the Piper route, it'd be like, Dusty, you need to explain something about your son right now.
Now look here, Dustin, you upsetting Cody and his black wife. You can't do that, you understand? We're trying to have a peaceful Thanksgiving, you understand?
Yeah, the day Brandi Rhodes' family roll up in that joint. Yeah, I don't know.
You know the funny thing, though, on a side note, like, just imagine them at Thanksgiving. Like, Brandy's dad probably is more well-spoken than Dusty.
How dare you?
Like, hey, how you doing? I'm Dusty Wolves. Pleased to meet you, sir. Oh, it's great to meet you, too. My name's Clifford. Like, he's probably just a normal dude. And Dusty's coming out here shucking and jiving. You understand? Pass the funky pie.
I was gonna make a joke. I'm not gonna make the joke.
You're not gonna make it.
That's if she knows her dad.
Oh.
Too soon?
This
Boo.
This is why they won't let you on Black Twitter, Marcus.
I'm just saying, you know, let's not assume that everyone has a two-parent household.
That is true.
Okay, so basically you're telling me you're a fan of Maury, so.
Well, somebody that's not going to grow up in a two-parent household, how's this for a segue, is Nick Cannon and Mariah Carey's children, because they done split up. But we were graced with a gift, if you will. I'm going to go as far as to say a present, Sierra, from Nick Cannon last night on VH1 in the form of Drumline 2, / A New Beat, the sequel to the Nick Cannon classic. Drumline. I watched it. I don't know how I got sucked into it. Last night was Monday, so it was during the Cowboys game. And it was like right after the Cowboys game, it was perfect time because Drumline came on. And I'm like, yeah, I can stick around and watch Drumline for a little bit while I work on some stuff. And I'm just, it's like, Drumline, to me, that movie was much like wrestling now. Like, the only times I got interested was when they brought back some old characters. Like, in wrestling, when The Rock comes back, everybody goes crazy. When Hogan shows up with the cancer ladies and they doing the poses in the ring, everybody's like, oh, isn't that cool, isn't that funny? The only time I got invested in Drumline 2, semicolon, A New Beat, was when you had the band director who was the villain, so to speak, in the first Drumline. And then you had Nick Cannon come back for 7 minutes of this two-hour movie to play the grown-up Devin Miles, who's basically just playing Nick Cannon. It was a wonderful thing. Black Twitter went crazy, especially the females, because they liked the pretty light-skinned dude. It was a crazy experience. Sierra, did you watch this movie? And if not, we're going to have to take your Black Twitter pass.
No, I did not watch it, and here's what I got. Apparently, according to somebody, because I am very light-skinned, I should be supporting other light-skinnedness.
That's why Marcus wants you on the show. That's why Marcus is like, sure, we'll help her back.
Solidarity, brother or sister.
Light skins. And, you know, apparently it was this fine light-skinned dude on the movie, and apparently I was supposed to watch it for him, and I didn't see what everybody else saw. He's no Shamar Moore. I mean,
I'll put it like this. I'll put it like this, Marcus. If you didn't see the movie, like, he is the kind of light-skinned brother that Tyler Perry would cast in one of his movies as the church-going janitor that shows up when the dark-skinned lawyer is busy abusing his wife.
Okay.
Like, he's that sensitive, but he's still got, like, a hard street edge to him type of light skin.
Okay, all right.
Like that dude.
And not to mention, playing the dark-skinned guy is Blair Underwood, because, you know, he's got to be a crazy brown guy in every movie.
Don't you know how hard I work for you?
Like, what?
Why are you trying to leave me in the middle of the night? And then the light-skinned janitor just shows up. I heard some noise. Is everything all right? You need me to pray?
Well, I mean, we're just curious. We can't help it.
Oh, yeah. Drumline 2, let me tell you, Marcus. First of all, did you watch the first one? I know you don't watch a lot of movies, but you saw the first one?
I saw the first one.
What'd you think of it?
I mean, it was whatever, you know?
I will tell you, like, I'm going to guess that one of the best parts of the original Drumline for you was Orlando Jones.
No, this was post Office Space Orlando Jones, where he peaked.
Yeah.
So, there was no highlights for Drumline for me. It was just...
No Orlando Jones in this movie. That was one thing that disappointed me. And also, you might not think it was a highlight, but for me, one of the highlights of the original Drumline was Petey Pablo showing up out of nowhere.
All right, that was pretty good.
And there was no Petey Pablo in Drumline 2.
Let's hope not.
What was he going to perform?
Hey, that Take Your Shirt Off song never gets old. Spin it around like a helicopter.
Who would be the 2014 Petey Pablo, though?
Oh, who would it be?
Rich Homie Quan.
Rich Homie Quan.
I mean, why not? They all like his song.
Southern rapper, one hit wonder.
Okay, I got a better one. Trinidad James.
I think that'd be like 2000 if this movie came out maybe last year.
Last year with Trinidad.
Yeah, Trinidad hasn't been hot this year.
Well, he's been dropped from his label and everything. The brother is just struggling. I find it kind of just ironic that he gets dropped from his label after he made those comments about New York. All of a sudden, they were just like, look, we don't need you barking up that tree, okay? We got Russell and them looking at us funny. Nah, you're going to have to go. Who else could have been there? You know what? I got to get a better idea. Since, you know, apparently he's such a big deal, you know, and he wants to, you know, argue with his label mates on Twitter. Tyga!
Tyga from Young Money. As Peter Pablo in Drumline 2, a new beat.
I'm tired of my work.
Let me tell you something else that didn't really fit with this drumline in terms of the story. Like, there were some similarities. Like, you had the one awkward white dude that was in this one. You had the a gay dude and a brother on the down low that he was interested in. You had all these cliche storylines that I'm sure the HBCU attending portion of Black Twitter was mad about last night.
They always mad about some, by the way. They're never satisfied about anything, how they're portrayed.
We gave you your own colleges. What are you mad about? We're going to get letters from that. No, we won't. I think Henry's the only HBCU alum.
What school? Oh, that's right. Wasn't down North Carolina?
South Carolina.
South Carolina? Okay.
Yeah, Henry might write us a letter. But the part I didn't like, the part that I found problematic about this movie, was the main character, she was never likable. Like they built up all these hurdles that she had to overcome, one of them being she came from a good two-parent household, and the father was Mario Van Peebles, a.k.a. Sonny Spoons, a.k.a. the good head police chief from New Jack City.
And you should have known from there this movie was going to be bad.
He was her dad. And so that was one hurdle she had to overcome. The other hurdle she had to overcome was that she was in love with the pretty light-skinned boy, but they were both going for the same spot on the drum line. But there was no conflict. Like, she slept with him the one night, they were happy. Then the next day she challenged him, spoiler alert, in the drum line contest and took his spot. And he turned to the bottle. And he had a story arc, but it was nothing like the first movie, because the first movie, you can say what you want, but at least the story of the dude that could play the drums naturally in Nick Cannon, but he couldn't read music, like, that was a pretty good little hook. Like, in order to be in this band, you gotta read music, no matter how good you are with your natural talent. There was nothing like this in this movie, and the chick, who apparently, I guess, she's gonna be playing Aaliyah in the Aaliyah movie, she was not good to me in this particular production of Drumline 2.
Another disaster.
The movie?
Oh, that's going to be, yeah.
Yeah, and it's going to be produced by Wendy Williams, so...
How you doing?
Imagine the trash that you're going to have thrown in here on Aaliyah's legacy.
Oh.
It's going to be...
Old Wendy. Don't trash Wendy. That's in the past. She's cleaned up her act.
She has? Have you seen what she just did to her former co-host?
Who, Charlamagne?
Yes.
What happened?
Apparently, she was doing an interview and she says she doesn't know him.
Oh.
Like, she doesn't know who he is at all.
Really?
And Charlamagne, at first, he didn't want to get offended, but he was actually hurt by it because he was just like, I worked with her 8 years. Every day.
Wow.
How could she not know me? So...
Shame.
You're saying she's cleaned up her act, but there was no reason for her to say that. She could just been like, oh, I hear he's doing well.
Well, in Wendy's defense, to be fair, she worked with a dark-skinned dude for 8 years and forgot him. We worked with a dark-skinned guy for 8 months, and I can't really remember his name.
Oh.
So.
Both instigators, too.
Yeah, both instigators, very similar. But yeah.
He said it, I didn't.
He's probably listening though. You know who you are. We'll have to talk. You have your people call our people. It was essentially just us.
But I'm just saying, like, imagine the Leave movie is going to be more headline worthy as opposed to.
Oh, here's a question, Sierra. Will the Aaliyah movie be better or worse than the TLC movie?
From what I've seen, some of the people they picked for the cast, Timbaland is very small. Missy Elliott is very small. I don't know who's playing Genuine, but I better hope they have curls.
Probably
like
a pretty light-skinned dude from Drumline, too.
You might as well. Or get Genuine. He's not doing anything right now. just let him go in there, do his moves. To be honest, this is a lifetime.
I heard Genuine just that same OG.
True.
Three people in the audience laughed at that.
I hate Genuine.
Lifetime Lifetime biopics are not always good.
Wait a minute. You hated Genuine Marcus? He seemed like he would be like your... Like, he brought light skin back in, like, 97?
Nah, my fiancé likes him. We saw him in concert maybe 2 years ago now in Vegas. And wait around forever for him to come out. He shows up. He does maybe, like, 20 minutes. I fire off a tweet on Twitter, and he responded with some smart-ass comment. And then
Genuine responded to you.
Yeah, and then all of Genuine's followers.
Oh, he brought up the army.
Yeah, the army of Genuine followers.
The culture control.
Got in my mentions, and yeah, so. Not a fan of the wine.
See, this is why you can't come for other light-skinned people on Twitter.
You really can't.
Get emotional, man. Like,
I was waiting for DeBarge to step in the middle. Cass, stop it. This is some dark skin shit right here. Come on, fellas.
Al would have my back, man. He would have my back.
Which DeBarge, though?
Oh, Al. the only one that matters. Please. Chico don't matter.
We're just going to dismiss
yeah.
Chico.
Can you tweet from jail?
Excuse me. Oh, about Chico or Al?
Chico.
Oh, yeah. Chico's still in, I think. That was free. Free.
Wait,
and sober.
He's still in?
Chico? Yeah, I think he is.
Yeah, he went back in.
Yeah.
Wow. I thought he was out. Like, damn.
He was out, but yeah.
Chico being Chico.
But that family is... I don't know if you guys ever see their unsung on them. Yeah, that family is pretty much ripped into shreds. I feel bad for them, but... Dear Jesus, but Lifetime movies are never really good. They never really depict the real thing. They always have it falsified. So how this Aaliyah biopic is going to go, I think it's probably going to be worse than the TLC movie.
I got to say, I hated the TLC movie, but Lil Mama was all right as Left Eye.
I thought she was Left Eye. That's how good she was. And I remember when they announced it from Jump, I was just like, oh my God, she's going to make Left Eye look ridiculous.
Oh, the other thing that I really liked about the TLC movie, was only in the movie for like 2 minutes, which is 5 minutes less than Nick Cannon was in Drumline 2. Playing L.A. Reid, Carl Anthony Payne, a.k.a. Cockroach from the Cosby Show, and Cole from Martin was playing L.A. Reid.
Cockroach.
And looks nothing like L.A. Reid.
Nothing like L.A. Reid. They were like, it's either him or Mario Van Peebles, and Mario's a little pricey.
But remember the chick they had playing Pebbles, and she looked nothing like Pebbles? And I was like, oh, because she's light-skinned?
Yeah, she was just light-skinned. That's all it was.
Because she's light-skinned? We just want to... She looked nothing like her. I was even disappointed in Keke Palmer's, you know, hair as Chili. I was just like... Nah,
I didn't think, like, she's a good actress, but I didn't like her in that role.
She just felt too serious for Chili. I always thought Chili was chilled, laid back, and she was just...
She's a wrestling fan.
She's a wrestling fan, right? Yeah.
Yeah, she be at the wrestling events all the time.
Has she been a guest host before?
Raw? No, they should have... It's just the tweet all the time.
Yeah, that makes more sense than having fucking Nene Leakes on the show.
Yeah, in Atlanta? Yeah, this should have
Oh, God. Her. That made no sense. At all. Like, I watched The Real Housewives of Atlanta, and I just didn't get understand what they're trying to make me understand. Okay, so you want these little kids watching WWE programming to turn on Housewives of Atlanta?
Well, Stephanie pointed out 40% of their fan base is female, allegedly.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not buying that number. It seems a little high to me.
It does.
But that doesn't mean that we watch reality shows and stuff like that. So
you mean you're not watching Todd Chrisley trying to raise his family?
What was it that he said?
I do chuckle.
Dragon. Don't go out here like Aunt Sassy with your dragon snapping.
Yeah, don't go out there like Aunt Sassy with your snapdragon snapping.
Like, what?
I can't even front, though. Like, if I'm watching Raw, and it's like that last 15 minutes, you know, when they do the overrun, and it's too late to turn to something else because you're already 15 minutes into, like, the Daily Show, I'll stick around for 15 minutes to Todd Chrisley because he's like, funny. Like, come on, man. Like, I don't know how much of this he's playing up for the cameras, but he's just like, let me tell you something. I was born at night, but I wasn't born last night. You're not going to get one past me. He just too damn sassy for his own good.
I mean, he just has... I mean, he's just outspoken. He comes out and says what you're thinking. The way he puts it out there, I'm just like...
No lie, he reminds me of, like, every choir director, black or white, in the South from, like, 1982 to 1993. Like, if you went to church and had a black choir director or a white choir director, he was sassy like Ty Chrisley. Chances are.
I mean, he...
We gonna sing this song right and let the angels weep about it. Like, whoa, please. Like, no.
He just has a unique lingo. Just he just keeps on talking. And I always be like, his wife, she's been with him so long to like now she understands. But I wonder when they first started dating, she was like, what? What are you talking about?
I wonder when did she discover he was not gay? Like, because that would have been one of my first questions if I was Mrs. Ty Chrisley when we first started dating.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, everybody said you was gay. I didn't know, Ty.
And where did the black baby come from?
Yes.
Isn't it his grandchild or something like that? Like, whose child is that?
He's got a black assistant, too. Like, his assistant's black, and then, yeah. I don't know. Do we ever see, like, the father of that baby? Because... we see the daughter, but the black daddy is nowhere to be seen.
Well, that's accurate, then. True to form.
Now that's what happens when you're out there with the Snapdragon snapping. Sometimes you get a black one.
Todd Chrisley.
But we're going to wrap things up. We got one more thing that we need to talk about, Sierra, because I saw you tweeting about it. I've been tweeting about it. I posted the episode up on the Kings of Sport Twitter feed, at CosPod on Twitter. I don't know if Marcus has seen it yet, but he should because it's the best 15 minutes you're going to spend in your life all week. And I'm talking about Mike Tyson Mysteries.
I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, Sierra, how good is Mike Tyson Mysteries?
You know, the funny thing is I had missed it, and when it came back on... something else was on. No, somebody came in the room and was talking to me about something. But when I seen the commercial, I was just like, we're going to put Mike Tyson on TV for Adult Swim.
It is brilliant.
Now, the commercial cracked me up because he's like, it's me doing my voice. Yeah, it's really me acting this out. I was just like, okay, Mike. Okay.
I think you like it, Marcus.
So I told you about the promo I saw with the theme song.
Yeah.
Did they use that for the actual show?
Oh, with the Kings of Sport?
Yeah.
I mean, with the Down with the Kings? No.
Oh, okay. All right.
No, but...
darn.
What it is, it's Mike Tyson as Mike Tyson.
Mm-hmm.
It's Adam Carolla starring as one of Mike Tyson's pigeons that talks.
Oh, that's funny.
It's a ghost, and the ghost name... is Marcus de Queensberry.
Oh, no.
And then you got Mike Tyson's daughter, who is Asian. And, like, she's like the Velma of the show. Yeah, it's crazy. Like, when I saw it, I was like, yeah, this is something that is probably going to go under the radar for a lot of people, but I like it. Like, Mike Tyson solving mysteries. It reminds me of, you remember the old Mr. T? Cartoon,
mm-hmm.
But for some reason Mr. T was put in charge of a bunch of gymnasts, and they solved crimes while they competed in gymnastic competitions. It's very much in that animation style, but it's Mike Tyson solving mysteries around the world. Yeah.
Who would have thought, after he bit Homeboy's ear off years and years ago, that we would now be having a cartoon?
I know. How about went to jail for... A little hanky panky.
Was it rape? Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's solving mysteries. Like, what? If Mike Tyson could solve the world's mysteries, then what the hell is everybody else doing wrong? what are we doing wrong here?
I'd love to see an Evander Holyfield cameo on this show. Like, this mystery is way too complicated, everybody. I need to bring in a second opinion on this if Holyfield shows up with his 47 kids. Thought you might need some backup, Mike. Thanks, Real Deal.
No, wait till the episode we had Mike Tyson and Floyd Mayweather together.
Oh. Floyd. See, Floyd, like, this is the thing. Like, Floyd, I don't know if Floyd has this in them going forward. Like, let's say 10, 15 years from now. I don't know, Marcus, if Floyd can be as self-deprecating as Mike Tyson seems to be able to be.
Oh, hell no. No, of course not.
Like, Mike knows, like, Mike is in on the joke, even though sometimes he'll snap and cuss out a Canadian reporter. Mike is in on the joke 9 times out of 10.
Yeah, but Mike's not all the way there upstairs. Floyd is a lot more competent at, can we say. You know, he gets what's going on. Mike, I don't know. You know, it's day by day of him.
What, you want to be funny now? You want to make jokes now? Then what you want to do? Like, when Mike turns mean and angry and surly on somebody, it's funny. Because he did the same thing to Dan Le Batard once on Highly Questionable. And they were asking him some stuff, and he's like, oh, you want to make jokes with your father now, Dan? Is that what you're doing? And Dan's like, that's kind of a show, Mike. You want to make jokes with your father over there, Dan? Mike Tyson. But yeah, Mike Tyson Mystery is on Adult Swim. I don't know when it comes on, but you can check the website, and we posted the first episode up on Twitter. I think it's funny, Marcus. I think you'll enjoy it.
I'll check it out.
Do you guys watch that show? I don't watch it, but I hear a lot about Black Jesus.
Oh, Black Jesus.
I don't know.
It was funny to me. Like, the season's over now. I'm sure you can see all the episodes online. It's from the guy that created the Boondocks. Which he left Aaron Magruder. He left the Boondocks before the last season that they just had, which was kind of average. But Black Jesus is funny. It's like, but I think you got to come in. Like, you can't get offended easily. Like if you're a Christian, it's like you gotta go in already accepting the joke and accepting that there may be things that step on your beliefs, especially if you don't believe that Jesus was black, which. He, I'm not saying he was black, but he wasn't John Stockton in Passion of the Christ either. Like, he wasn't no lily white dude in the middle of Africa. Let's be real with it. I'm going to sip my tea like Kermit right now and wait for the hate mail.
Yeah, but that's none of my business.
Exactly. But yeah, I thought Black Jesus was pretty funny. Yeah, I mean, you got Charlie Murphy in it and John Witherspoon and a bunch of other comedians. It was pretty good. I don't know if it'll be back for a second season because I don't know how the ratings did or what the feedback was, but I thought it was a pretty funny season.
I remember I was trying to turn my friend into, I don't know if they put that show back on Adult Swim or not with Tyler, the Creator.
Oh, Loiter Squad.
Yeah. And I remember the first time I watched it, I was just like, okay, I don't think I'm going to like this. But it's one of those things like, it's tongue-in-cheek, like, you can't get offended, you have to, like, understand the joke to get, like, why it's funny. And I remember I was telling my friend, I'm like, you might like this, he was like, I don't like Tyler, the Creator, and I know I'm not gonna like this. And he wrote me back, and he was just like, oh, it was kind of funny, and I was just like, I told you, some of the things he does on there is actually true. I never was it was a skit they did, it was like, him and his friends, they were in jail. And they had on, like, all the, like, windbreaker suits from, like, the 80s and 90s. And they were the black boy band, and they were singing, I think it was, like, they remixed Poison or something like that. And then they put, like, all these other, like, black boy band songs in there. And, I mean, they were just going from, like, inside the jail, outside jail. I was just like, wow, they really took time to do this. And then that one skit with the, how you just gonna come and, give me this shit on my birthday. And, like, some of the stuff he came up with was just hilarious, but I don't know. It's some about Adult Swim. Like, when they put other shows on, they could be funny, but when it comes to, like, the black comedies, you know, us black people were just like, okay, how far are they going to take this? Because I remember when they put the Boondocks on, I was just like, I know a lot of people are going to be offended.
Eric Andre's show is like that too. It's real abstract. It's like a real crazy specific vein of comedy, and it's like it's like a lot of black folks aren't really into it just because it's like it seems it's something they wouldn't be into, and then a lot of white folks aren't into it because it's a black guy. Let's just be let's just put it out there. So it's like it's hard to find that audience. I think the Boondocks found that audience, and I think Lotus Squad has, because it's like that pothead kind of audience. But I don't know. It's a hard thing.
Yeah, I think they're trying to figure out like that medium in between, because when I watch Adult Swim, I watch for Family Guy or American Dad, and sometimes I turn a friend. I can't take the repeats of Robot Chicken anymore.
Aqua Teen, Hunger Force?
You know, I never understood what was their purpose. Okay, French fries, a drink, and what, a meatball?
Yeah.
What?
Not just a meatball.
Meat wad.
Oh, meat wad. Okay.
Yeah, he could turn in an igloo and a hot dog.
Oh, that show's so good.
And then we had like that weird neighbor they had, that white dude.
He does NFL picks.
Paul Fix, yeah.
Yeah.
On the ES.
With Carl. Stone, like, Cold, Lock.
Of the century.
Of the week.
He just always, like, when he would just randomly show up, I'm just like, who the fuck are you? Like, you just walk into somebody's house?
Yeah, Adult Swim is real. Like, it's interesting because they'll still show, like, some of the older shows that they started off with, but it's like a lot of the new shows I don't necessarily get, but I guess people watch them. But then every now and then they'll come out with like a Mike Tyson, and I'm back in. I'm like, okay, I'm in for that.
Those ones I just have a hard time getting into, because some of them are just, they're either one episode they're okay, the rest of them they just be like, ew, like, who put this together?
Hey, it could be worse. You could be in Drumline too, a new beat.
No, please, Nick Cannon, VH1, do not make a third.
That's your homework before next time you come back on the show, Sierra. I'm gonna need you to watch that so we can compare notes.
Oh, and remove my eyes. Yeah, I'll make sure I have no eyes or get my eye color changed permanently, like Tiny. Yeah.
So I just love Nick Cannon. Like, for 7 minutes, dude was in the movie for 7 minutes. And it was only tangentially tied to his original character. Like, if you remember the character from the first movie, the guy Nick Cannon's playing in this new Drumline, it's not the same dude.
Yeah, like, but he's...
Keep getting them checks, Nick. Keep getting them checks.
Of course, because, you know...
Quick question before we go. Easier money grab this year. Divorce of Mariah or Drumline 2, a new beat? Because he was only in Drumline for 7 minutes, but he got divorced from Mariah. He's probably getting more money from Mariah, but in terms of work, I don't know.
I would have to say Drumline too, because he just appeared for 7 minutes, where Mariah, he had to put in work. He had to go get his tattoo changed. He got to move out the house.
And let me tell you, in Drumline too, he was in more than three scenes, but it was only three locations. He was at the diner, he was at the football field, and he was at the quote-unquote Black Band Classic. So he was only at three locations for those 7 minutes, which probably took him 3 days of filming.
Yeah, and you know what the crazy thing with Drumline? You don't
just,
really
just
see...
The one crazy thing with Drumline, you won't tell us.
Okay, well, maybe it's not really crazy, but here's the thing. Like, they're filming this, like, it's still back in 2002 when black college football was, like, a cool thing. Like, especially with these black, all-black colleges, like, everybody was like, man, I want to go here, I want to go there. Now, if you look at, like, some of the kids now, they don't really realize there's all-black colleges anymore. They think, like, they don't exist. They don't see black college football. They don't have that experience or understanding, like, why this was so cool and hype to want to go see.
And maybe even worse, like, Marcus, there, other than the last Drumline, when's the last time anybody really talked about black colleges or black bands? It was during the FAMU scandal.
Yeah, and so that, it's that like, wasn't good.
Right, like you're making this movie in a world where the last thing that a lot of people have heard about black college and black bands is this big scandal, And everybody's happy at what is it, Atlanta A&T? Mm-hmm. Everybody's happy at Atlanta A&T. Nobody's mad at the home of the Panthers. No, nobody's addressing these social issues because we only got 90 minutes to fill, and Nick Cannon took up 7 of them.
Yeah, that's the thing, because I was just like, when they announced it, I was just like, so we're going to take a movie that was filmed back in 2002 when that stuff was like at its peak to now years later where you really don't hear about it at all. Like, I remember I had a family member who's like a little bit younger than me, right? And they're like, I didn't know all black colleges still exist. And I said, you know, first I wanted to kill them.
And then I said, white side or your black side?
On the black side. And but then I understood what I thought about her age, and I said, I understand why, because to her, she doesn't hear this, especially from her peers. You know, it's not a big thing. Like, when I was growing up, like, looking at, like, movies, like, House Party and stuff, and seeing them going to, like, these all-black colleges stuff, I'm like, man, I will go there. Like,
watching A Different World.
You know, like, I want to go hang out with, you know, Whitley and Wayne, you know, all of them. Like, that made you want to go to those things. Now, you scared as hell to go to regular college. So, they don't know that it exists, so now we're going to put out a movie 12 years later depicting something from back then, and these kids are just like, okay, some cute chick drumming. Some fine brother drumming, okay.
It's also an original thing, too, because, I mean, the furthest west you have HBCU is Prairie View in Texas.
Yeah.
If you go west of Texas, there are no HBCUs. So if you're a West Coast kid like myself and you don't have any ties or exposure to the South or to the Mid-Atlantic area, then you wouldn't know about HBCUs.
Yeah. That's the thing. It's like not many people know about it. So that's why I was just like, so we're still going to go with this whole all-black college thing and stuff like that, like, after all these years, which I'm fine with them still portraying it that way, but it's just that when you look at society now, like, nobody's really thinking about this stuff. I remember when I was graduating high school, I think I applied to Clark in Atlanta. I think that's the one I applied to. And they were talking about, like, how attendance and stuff was so down. And that shows you, if it was down that bad then, imagine how it is now.
Yeah, well, I'm not saying anything, but it's probably good that you didn't go because you would have ended up in some big school days controversy. You would have been like Gina from Martin was in school days, the light skins versus the dark skins. And
you know, it's, and
Larry
you know, it's
Fishburne funny. Is yelling at people for no reason.
And you know it's funny that you brought up Gina because Tisha Cam is my cousin.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
How are we just now learning about this? Like,
because this is part of... Like, you know, I didn't know all these years till my father, because his last name, you know, Martin, and stuff like that, and he just, like, explained it to me. He was just like, yeah, that's your cousin. And I was just like, huh?
How do we bring up Carl Anthony Payne, and that didn't naturally lead you to say, oh yeah, by the way, speaking of Cole from Martin.
Because.
She's modest, that's why.
Yeah, I didn't want to put it out there. You know, that's just kind of like, you know, not many people know that. I never really tell anybody, because like, I'm just like.
You got exclusive content on the Kings of Sport. This is like the blackest segment of the Kings of Sport ever.
Our viewership's going way down.
Yeah. Like, that's saying something when, like, for 8 months we had a black-ass midnight African on the show. Now this light-skinned girl done brought the... We done jumped around to Martin, the Wayans brothers, Mike Tyson, the Boondocks, Black Jesus. Oh, just, yeah. I'll be interested to see the ratings when they come out this next week.
Well, I mean, we could wind it up. I could be talking about Britney Spears, Spice Girls, and NSYNC and all of them.
Mm.
But we're not.
No, we're not. And, that's going to do it this week, Sierra. Let people know where they can follow you and hear your podcast and all that good stuff.
Well, for starters, the Fangirl podcast is on hiatus.
Uh-oh. Is it really on hiatus, or is this just like hiatus, hashtag we ain't never coming back?
Well, I just say it's on hiatus because I haven't talked to my co-host Sloan in a long time.
We know how that goes.
How long has it been?
Maybe.
How many pay-per-views have passed?
let's see.
How many John C. Randy Orton matches have you missed out on?
I believe we missed Money in the Bank, SummerSlam.
No, we
came back for SummerSlam. And we missed Night of Champions, Hell in a Cell, and everything else recently.
So you made one out of the last 7 pay-per-views.
Yeah, we missed all of those. But at the time, it's kind of understandable because she was moving from the West Coast back over to the East Coast.
She was moving away out of your life, what she was doing.
Well, I'm on the East Coast. I'm fine with that. So, and she had to, like, you know, transfer her job and everything. It was a long process for her. So that was like the first time we took a break, and then plus I was moving and stuff like that. So, and now she's planning her wedding. So,
whoa, yeah, that show's over. I hate to say it, but yeah.
Well, you know, to be honest, if we were just decided to end it on 10 episodes, for me, I'd be happy.
That's a nice round number.
Because, one, it's even. I like even numbers. Yeah. I don't really like odds. It depends on the day. So I'd be happy with it because, actually, this would be my first time I actually did a show with another female. I'm used to doing shows with guys. So it's kind of like a different project in a way, which kind of like what we did. So if we never come back or whatever, hey, I got those 10 episodes. I'm happy with them. We had fun. We laughed. We giggled and whatever. But, you know, hopefully we come back because, you know, I haven't talked to her in such a long time.
What are you thinking, Marcus? I know you're the rational one of this crew.
Sounds like WCW to me.
Yeah, Eric Bischoff's going to buy this. We're still good.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you know.
We can get a network deal. We're still good.
Do you want to be Sting or do you want to be Ric Flair, Sierra? Because you're one of the two. You're having the last match right now.
Shit. AOL and Time Warner just came over and just cut the damn lights off. Just nah, not this week.
Brian Alvarez is writing a book, The Death of the Fangirl Podcast.
I wish to God he would. Like, he would be paying me a lot of money. But fans and stuff can like follow me at Sierra9218.89 on Twitter. That's where I'm at all the time. I have my Tumblr account linked to my Twitter, which I just post random pictures of wrestling. No order. Just random things. I really don't talk on my Tumblr. It's just kind of like,
I never get a Tumblr.
To be honest, I didn't understand what was the big fascination with it, but once you get on it, like, it's addicting. Like, you know how everybody says Twitter and Facebook are addicting? It's worse than that. Because you will find yourself reblogging pictures for hours. Just, you like everything. That's how it is. So, yeah, that's what I do sometimes by downtime, doing that. Just, oh, okay, I like that picture. No, I don't like that picture, but yeah, you guys can follow me there. I would give you guys Sloan's Twitter, but Sloan is a little bit different from me, where I'm nice to everybody until you get catty with me. Sloan, she's like, I don't know you. I'm not going to follow you. I'm not going to answer you.
I told you I'm done with that life, Sierra. I moved on. Oh, it's terrible.
But it's certainly like timely. The Shield breaks up. We break up. Like, yeah. What?
I was the architect of this podcast.
Why is all of us light skins, dark skins getting left behind? What's going on?
I don't know.
Believe that. Oh, so yeah, that's Sierra. You can follow her on Twitter. And yeah, she does tweet, like, especially during Raw and during the pay-per-views, you'll find her on Twitter and Tumblr and all that good stuff. So that's Sierra Reed, host of the Fangirl Podcast, question mark?
Stop
former
it.
Host.
But hey, I might not do podcasts often, but I still write for ringbellsonline.com. Now, that relationship has not severed.
All right. That's a solid relationship. That's Drumline 1, man. The Fangirl Podcast is Drumline 2, a new beat. Wow. Oh, thanks for coming on, Sierra.
No problem. Thank you guys for having me.
We'll have you back when we reschedule with Steve so we can talk some tag me a day.
Yeah, I need to figure out what's going on so I can get somebody's wrestling marks.
Girl, bye.
Some dates.
Welcome back to the world's most dangerous sports show. Follow the danger online at facebook.com/thekingsofsport.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
We are back on the Kings of Sport, powered by Place to Be Nation. PlaceToBeNation.com is your one-stop spot for the latest and greatest in sports and pop culture. Check them out at PlaceToBeNation.com. And it's time once again for the segment you guys wait for each and every week. Segment where we take a look at some of the ratchetness out there in the world of sports, entertainment, and pop culture. Little thing we like to call segment four. And Marcus, this week we have one of the most interesting stories I think we've had in a while. Like, I always like when we talk about college football and some of the antics that go on the campuses. I think those are some of our most memorable stories, like with the Trey Meteor story from last year. And then your boy at USC recently.
Josh Shaw, yeah.
Yeah, Josh Shaw. So, you know, when you get college kids and substances, allegedly, and local law enforcement, I think it's just an interesting story. So we got another one for you this week, y'all. And Marcus, for those that have not heard about Oklahoma State's Juwan Offray, why don't you let people know what's going on with Juwan, man?
Yeah. So freshman cornerback Juwan Offray was dismissed from the Oklahoma State football team after he fell asleep in a Whataburger drive-thru after a game last Sunday morning. This ties him back to Texas because every freaking corner in Texas is a Whataburger or a Sonic. I mean, I only saw one McDonald's the entire trip in Texas. Otherwise, it was Sonic or Whataburger on every quarter. Back to Juwan. Fell asleep in his car, drive-thru. He was arrested around 4 a.m. along with, oh boy. Can you pronounce his name? Listen, parents. How about we stick to names in the Bible? All right? We gave you a shot to be cute, naming these kids God knows what. I can't pronounce these names.
Is this?
And I'm black. Can you imagine the white people who having to do these stories, yeah, having to pronounce these names?
This is like the Key and Peele skit come to life. Oh. Cartoons plural. Virginia Tech. Hingle McCringleberry, Nebraska. Looks like Juwan.
It's JHAJUAN. Why? Why would you name your kid this? What kind of corporate job can this John get in corporate America? Ugh.
So we had Juwan and Juwan.
You know, Juwan, fine. It wasn't like an uppercase W. It's fine. But his buddy who got arrested with him, Zijan, he was also arrested after, according to police report, both players seemed very lethargic and confused, and their eyes were red and watery with a glassy appearance. Police also said they smelled an odor of alcohol when the doors to the vehicle were opened.
Oh, there's so much to unpack here. First of all, shout out to Whataburger, man. Did you stop in?
No, like, but I've been there before.
They're a chain, but they got some pretty good burgers. I can't front on Whataburger. But yeah, okay. Everybody that's listening to this show that can hear the sound of my voice, I would assume most of us have been to college, at least spent some time in college. I would assume a percentage of us have been awake at 4 in the morning and hungry. And there are certain things that lead to that situation, that state, Marcus, where you up at 4 a.m. and you're hungry. But most of us had a good sense to get home from the drive-thru.
Or at least stay up. At least stay awake. How do you like, both fall asleep?
Right. Did they eat in the car and just fall asleep? Like, that's some fast-acting itis.
No, I don't think they made it to the drive. I don't think they made it from the time they ordered up into the time they paid.
Wow.
It was in the drive-thru. So that means they had to fall asleep either.
So they never got their food.
Yeah. They never got their food.
How do you, okay, this makes it even worse. Because I can see, you know, we've all had a meal late at night, and we've been drinking or whatever, and you get tired. That food rests on your belly, and you want to fall asleep. That's one thing. But these dudes, in the 45 seconds it took to place the order, which probably was an incident in and of itself, in the 45 seconds it took to place the order, to drive to the second window, they fell asleep.
Unless there's a line, but at 4 a.m., how many people are ordering burgers and you know, on Sunday morning?
It is Oklahoma.
That's true.
But even if there was a line, like, wouldn't somebody honk the horn?
Say, hey, move up. You? Yeah.
Yeah. Like, so I'm thinking they were the only ones there. That's crazy. Like, how do you fall asleep? Like, who was driving? Was it Juwan or Zijuan?
Zijuan.
Oh, so my question is, though, because was Zijuan released from the team or just Juwan?
Let's see. I think just Juwan, and it sounds like it was not the first time he'd been in trouble. So, okay. So this wasn't his first incident.
He was a repeat offender?
Yeah.
Oh, their eyes were red and watery with a glassy appearance.
You see the mugshot?
Oh, my. Wait, is he in the uniform?
Is he wearing Champ Bailey? No, I don't. Is it his uniform? It looks like Champ Bailey. 24, right? Denver?
Yeah.
Let me see. Yeah, that unless Champ. That's his number at Oklahoma State, but let me see.
Yeah. That'd be brilliant if he's wearing his own jersey. No, he's 22 for Oklahoma State.
So that's not his jersey.
But yeah, that would be brilliant if he's wearing his jersey and they were like arresting him. He's like, don't you know who I am? Look on the back of the jersey.
And actually, it made sense. He's a cornerback, right? So
yeah.
Shout out to Champ Bailey, who retired this week. So I'm sure he's thrilled. Being a mud shot.
Oh. He initially lied about his identity. That probably got him in trouble, too.
Why do people do that?
Hey, what's your name? I'm Champ Bailey, man. See the jersey? Oh, but yeah, This is just like college kids do stupid things. I say that each and every time we talk about stories like this. But at the same time, it's like somebody like that's why you have a buddy system. That's why Juwan and Zijuan are teamed up. Like one of them should have had the foresight to say, hey, man, we should get out of this drive-thru. This ain't the place to take a nap.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to drink at 4 a.m., you gotta have a game plan in terms of the food. You can't, you know, there's no delivery in Oklahoma City or in Stillwater at 4 a.m. There's probably no delivery in Los Angeles at 4 a.m. So, but, you know, if you're on campus, there's got to be something open, right? There's usually, like, I know even Hofstra had a place open that was open
at,
like, 4 o'clock in the morning that served, like, sandwiches and stuff.
You would think.
Get up on that meal plan.
Or just go to the grocery store before pregame.
Yeah.
Like, you know you're going to be drinking. Like, we might get hungry later. Let's get a bunch of cold cuts. Get on that Icky Woods program. Yeah.
My favorite part was in the original story. Who broke this story? This is here we go. Sources also said Offray planned to take a transfer route that would allow him to eventually return to a Big 12 school so he can play against OSU someday. That'll show him.
He's already plotting his revenge.
Yep.
I don't even think that's the main reason he wants to do it. I think he just knows that, like, Big 12, like, that's Whataburger country. So he can't go to some place where, like, he can't play, you know, in the Pac-12 because ain't no Whataburgers out there.
Nope.
Like, he's like, what am I gonna do with Carl's Jr., man?
Yeah, it's not the same. Carl's Jr. is nothing special.
No. Like, I remember the first time I realized that Carl's Jr. and Hardee's was the same people. It could trip me out.
I wonder why they don't just agree on one name. It's the same food.
Yeah, same food, same logos and all that.
Yeah.
But I guess there's name recognition.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, yeah, like, you couldn't, I don't think you could just change Hardee's to Carl's Jr.'s in the South because Hardee's has name recognition and probably vice versa out west.
It's the same with Checkers and Rallies.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah.
Both equally bad. Bad food, bad for you.
Hey, it's all in moderation. It's all in moderation.
Nah, that's...
You got...
There's nothing good about Rallies.
Man, the fries... Have you had Rallies fries, Marcus?
Oh, yeah. You know, they sell them in the freezer, too, now. You can get them in the frozen food section.
Are you serious?
Uh-huh.
You done changed the game now.
Saw them at Walmart.
Okay. I love Rally's fries. Like, the burgers and everything else, eh.
Yeah.
But Rally's fries, like, I would go out of my way to get some Rally's fries. I would drive at 4 o'clock in the morning to Rally's.
I live up the street from a Rally's. I've lived here now for 2 years. Have not once been to the Rally's.
Really?
Yeah. It's walking distance.
Rally's is funny, though, because they got the drive-thru and they got the walk-up.
Yeah. And they'll sit down inside.
Yeah, they'll sit down inside. Like, the walk-up guys, every time I've been to Rally's, it's been probably a year since I've been to Rally's, but, like, every time I go, like, the people that walk up get the short shrift because they're paying attention to the drive-thru times.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, dudes will be waiting, especially if it's, like, dinner time and it's, like, a line. The dude will be waiting at the walk-up for, like, 10 minutes for a burger. Say Rally's. Yeah. So, yeah, we talked about Rally's and Whataburger. Apparently, this guy was like a 3-star recruit.
Yeah, from Louisiana. So, he started all 7 games, or he played in all 7 games, but his football career is done for now.
Yeah. But maybe, I don't know where that music is coming from.
What music?
There's music in my headset. Either that or I'm, it's the first signs of dementia onsetting.
Do you have, like, a web page open with,
Yeah. Because I was looking up Rally's food while you were talking. You gotta eat. you're talking about, well, we were just talking about the recruit.
Oh, yeah.
3 stars. I completely lost. In terms of endorsements, like, you know, that's kind of the thing now with, like, petty crimes. Like, they'll send somebody out from a company to get that person to endorse a product, or, you know, petty acts like the Packers guy that got ketchup spilled on his jersey. Clorox wanted to give him a deal. And then Randall in a follow-up to the story that we did last week. Or was it last week or the week before?
That was a few weeks ago.
The shoplifter with the baby that was out there clowning. He got in contact by an underwear company. So I'm thinking, if Whataburger is smart, they'll hit up this kid and be like, Juwan Offray, be like, man, Whataburger is so good, I'll even risk my scholarship. What would you do for a Klondike bar? No, what would you do for a Whataburger?
He's going to be working at Whataburger at this rate. That's his next stop.
And believe me, they ain't going to let him take no naps.
Nope.
Not on the clock. It's like, Juwan, back to work. And do you think they're friends just because they have similar names? Like, that's how the roommate assignments broke down?
I need to Google Juwan Seals.
Like Mike Gundy is like, Juwan and Juwan, you stick together. Because I'm a man, I'm 40.
Oh, he's dead three times. Oh, he's from Port Arthur. Ooh. Oof. You know he's country, man.
Oh, with a name like Juwan.
Here we go. Pronouncing it. All right. Juwan Seals. According to the Oklahoma State website.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
So it's Juwan and Juwan.
Juwan Seals.
So all them extra letters were for nothing.
Exactly.
Juwan and Juwan. That makes the story. That takes it to a whole nother level. Like, the Juwans are acting up again.
Mother's name. Twana? T-W-A-N-A.
Twana, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, that's what makes the Key and Peele skit so funny, because it's like, it's not that far removed from some of these players' actual names. Yeah, so that's, I think that's going to do it for segment four this week, Marcus. We had a good show today, an enlightening conversation with Sierra Reed. Hopefully hopefully we didn't lose any listeners.
I hope not.
We love everybody.
By the way, you'll get a kick out of this. I'm on his Twitter page now. He sent a tweet out on October 7th. Sucks waking up. No shit. How ironic is this?
Especially when you got them red and blue lights in your face.
Yeah.
Like, that's got to be the worst way to wake. Like, you passed out in the drive-thru, and you didn't even get the food.
Yeah.
Like, you know he going to be hungry because they had to process him or whatever.
Went to jail, yeah.
But yeah, he's hungry as hell when he gets out.
So that's waking up.
And whoever worked at Whataburger, they got a free meal. Because they had to prepare that food.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so somebody got a free Whataburger on Juwan and Juwan. Oh, but yeah, it's a good show this week. Halloween on the horizon, everybody, so be safe. Don't drink and drive. Don't act a fool. Don't pass out in any fast food drive-thrus. And don't wear blackface, white people.
Please don't.
Don't do it. Or dress up like Ray Rice or Adrian Peterson. It's not a good look, literally. Marcus, where can the people hit you up and send you their best costumes so you can critique them?
You can hit me up on Twitter and Instagram at Marco Will, MarcoWill.
All right, you can check me out at N8, MOZAIK, Nate Mosaic on Twitter. Follow the show. Cospod on Twitter, KOS_POD, as well. Hit us up on Facebook, facebook.com/thekingsofsport, iTunes, Stitcher, all those good spots. Download, rate and review, share it with your friends. And I think that's going to do it for this week. Again, be sure to check out placetobenation.com. They're down with the Kings, so get down with Place to Be Nation. You can check me out on Review and Impact now, where I am the permanent co-host for the next 3 weeks. However long this promotion has left on TV.
What happened to that TV announcement deal?
Yeah, that's
didn't they promise something by this week?
They did, and we haven't gotten anything yet.
Surprise.
Maybe they're saving it for after the show.
Sure.
So yeah, you can hear me on Review and Impact with John Pollock, and also Pipe Bomb Radio every week. That's going to do it. Again, shout out to Sierra Reed for stopping by. We are going to catch up with Steve Glenwick down the road, and because I know you guys are waiting for that Tag Me a Date discussion, so we will have that. We got a couple other guests in the pipeline, so stay tuned, and I think you're going to enjoy the next few weeks of the Kings of Sport. We're going to call it a show for this week. Thanks for listening, and we'll do it again next week. So, for Marcus Vanderberg, I am the Godfather Nate Milton. Wake up, Juwan, because you've been down with the Kings.
Well, that's all for this week's edition of the Kings of Sport. Be sure to come back next week for an all-new episode. You can leave feedback for the show on Twitter at KOS_POD or via Gmail at thekingsofsport@gmail.com. Don't forget to like and rate us on iTunes and tell a friend. The Kings of Sport is a production of the Mosaic Podcast Network.
Whether you like it or not, he's back. D-A-double-D-Y, thanks, thanks. Sharp as a tack, like I just left.